If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? We got another week of fantasy DFS goodness coming at you live from the DGen Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF underscore authority is where you can find the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X. Joined as always by the usual suspect, the godfather himself, the man that makes it happen behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and everything in between. Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Rat 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. And of course, myself at Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at Ryan Alexander underscore W. Kev, we got a week 12 breakdown to get after it with for the DGen Nation fam. How are you doing this week? How's it going? Talk to them about week 11, man. How are you feeling?
Week 11, I've just moved on. I've just blocked it out mentally. Like,
Kev, but, we're on the game stack, buddy. We're on the game stack on the show. What happened?
You know, you needed, Sean Tucker, which I'm so mad at myself for,
man.
Like, I was starting to like kind of get there as the weekend went by, like, man, that's kind of a sneaky play. He's cheap. He's 5K. Bills are not good against the run. And I was like, and I just never got there. But I mean, I had quite a bit of Jacoby Brissett and, you know, Trey McBride with Dort stacks. Felt really good about it, but didn't have Michael Wilson, which you needed. So,
yeah,
there's no way, there's no shot that you could have convinced me that if you had told me that he was going to see 18 targets and have 15 catch for 105 yards, that I would have.
No, you wouldn't believe it. It's you know, it's been crazy, Kev. These overstacks, right? These overstacks of game environments, not only game environments, but just taking, you know, taking what the slate kind of gives you, right? It's like we wanted to pay up for a lot of these studs that were in pretty good spots, started to open up that way late. To be able to get to do that, right? Because you had cheap pass catchers for Arizona. We got Baltimore. We got Buffalo pass catchers, you know, that opened up late with the Keon Coleman news on Sunday, which led, you know, a lot of people to, you know, Josh Palmer's of the world, you know, even to get to Shakir, a little bit more popular, right, as well, too. But, you know, with this stat, you know, first of all, Jacoby Brissett, I mean, it's like the meme that goes around, right? Like, he can't keep doing this, can he? You know, the crying meme of the little boy. But it's like, yeah, just 4 weeks in a row, 5 weeks in a row, whatever it is now, you know, second half Jacoby Brissett has been absolutely smashing for fantasy purposes, DFS purposes, and any purpose that you wanna throw out there when it relates to this game of fantasy football that we've been playing. And to play him with, you know, with Greg Dortch, with Michael Wilson, both of those guys being under 4K, he was under 5K. You could still fit in McBride. Defenses were cheap enough. I mean, Titans, you know, at the minimum were popping everywhere. Browns were only $100 more and absolutely nuked the slate from, you know, from that late game standpoint, late afternoon slate standpoint. So, you know, it definitely made sense. It's just, you know, you saw a lot of Jacoby Brissett teams where it was like, okay, play Trey McBride and then pick one of the two of Dortch and Michael Wilson. I saw a lot of people going back and forth on who to play, and it was just play both and figure it out from there with McCaffrey. So fun, always fun to see, you know, when overstacks and mega stacks like that and end up hitting. Ironically, Kev, you know, as great of a stack that was, you hit it on the head. Like, if you had Josh Allen and Sean Tucker mini, like you just, you know, you were setting up yourself to win a lot of money if you took chalk after that. You know, definitely a fun slate. Jacoby Brissett, you know, save the week for your boy. So we talk again about it. And of course, you know, why wouldn't he be? Jacoby Brissett finds himself on this week 12 slate at only $5,300. So it'll be a fun one to break down. But, you know, DJ Nation fam, we're here to break down week 12 picks with you from the DraftKings perspective. As you know, we always do. Kev and I are going to go through our normal routine of breaking it down position by position. We'll make sure that we definitely get that Millie Maker lineup team build. And Kev, we've been pretty solid, you know, on, you know, we do this on Thursdays, right? It's early in the week. Sometimes we have a full idea of what the slate is going to shape out without a couple, you know, maybe there's a couple late things that come through on Sundays, but, you know, sometimes there could be a lot that goes through the motions, you know, in a couple of days leading up to the main slate after we do this. And, you know, so far this year, we've had a really good success rate on cashing these Millie Maker teams. I have to go back and look, but I know three out of the last four weeks, we've cashed pretty significantly being on some good game environments and game stacks. So we're hoping to do that yet again this week. And then before we wrap up, definitely got to talk to you guys about what we have planned for next week as well, too, with, you know, so much football going to be happening for the Thanksgiving week. So let's get after it for week 12 with the people now, Kev, because that's what they're tuning in for. It's another 11 game slate that we have here. And there's a lot to discuss when we even just talk about the quarterback position. You know, we don't have Josh Allen on this slate, so we have no quarterback that's priced above 7K. But we do have what's shaping out to be a popular Drake May at 6,900, who finds himself at the highest price at the quarterback position this week, 69. Nice. New England going against Cincinnati, and what I expect to be, you know, a pretty popular game, you know, even with it, what it stands to look like on the Bengals side, with Joe Flacco potentially being there, even with Jamar Chase not being available for the suspension for, you know, spitting like an idiot, we could potentially get Joe Burrow back this week. Joe Burrow finds himself at $6,500. Definitely, you know, even without Jamar Chase, we find ourselves with a really good game environment that's setting up here. Cincinnati very desperate to get wins under their belts. I mean, New England gets probably one of the, you know, softest matchups that you could possibly dream up, even though going on the road against the Cincinnati team that's been letting up points in bunches. So interesting setup there for those two quarterbacks. I really don't know how I'm going to attack that game just yet. I do like a lot of pieces from them, and we'll talk about it, but I'm not sure that I'll necessarily get to the quarterbacks in this game, especially while it's shaping out right now. Just not really sure if I'll get to Burrow necessarily, and then Drake May, with him being popular, I think I can go elsewhere. The elsewhere, Kev, when we come in, if he's 6,900, right, so who's priced below him? Well, guys that you would normally find, you know, priced above Drake May, you know, before he's been on this MVP run this season. We have the likes of Patrick Mahomes at 6,800 in a home matchup going against Indy, and Indy feels like hasn't been on the main slate in forever, but, you know, the way that Kansas City has been reeling, you know, and find themselves in a, you know, really desperate spot to be able to, you know, maintain control of their, you know, the dynasty run that they've been on. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot to be said, you know, if they win this game or if they lose this game, what their chances of playoff hopes look like. And just to think about the Chiefs not even making the playoffs in the Patrick Mahomes era, it seems ludicrous. So, you know, I expect them to throw all the stops in this game here. He's only 6,800. He's coming off of two stinkers. I really like being able to build around him this week, and there's some fun ways to do that with bringbacks. Then we have a Baltimore team with the AFC North, you know, pretty much up for grabs, and this Baltimore team, you know, with Lamar back, still trying to find their footing. I mean, what a better matchup for them. They get to face the Jets at home. And, you know, what's fun about Baltimore, Kev, is like, we can play Lamar and company in these spots. I don't really feel like, you know, we need them in, you know, these shootout games on the other side, like, you know, Bengals and Ravens that we'll see right on Thanksgiving, which is definitely going to be a fun one that we'll get to talk about. But even this one, it's at home against a soft matchup. I expect them to, you know, really come out and want to show out to be able to get the offense going here. So definitely like Lamar. He might be one of my favorite quarterbacks on the slate at 6,700. I'm hoping we could see a little bit more rushing upside. I do like on the other side that we have Tyrod Taylor. Instead of Justin Fields, I feel like Tyrod Taylor's kind of like in the Jacoby Brissett realm where, you know, he's not going to put up these alluring games, you know, for four quarters, but he's definitely going to be competitive enough to keep things going. So interesting target there. And then Jared Goff at 6,000, Kev, you know, the Lions find themselves in another good spot, good smash spot here against the Giants. They definitely need to get things going. The NFC, you know, North is super competitive this year. All these wins are going to matter for the division. And so with them finding themselves at a home matchup, and we know what, you know, Jared Goff at home can get the ship righted. And I'm going to go back to Detroit over stacks. We've kind of been talking about this a couple times this year already of just what this offense can do if they're really firing on all cylinders. And like, you know, nobody ever wants to guess, is it going to be Jared Goff passing? Is it going to be the running backs? Is it going to be both the running backs? Like, how do you attack it? And I'm just going to, you know, attack it from the angle of like, just how many Lions can I fit in a lineup that makes it feel optimal with Jared Goff being at the helm. And no Sam LaPorta, I think, makes it a little bit easier to be able to do so. And then, Kevin, the cheap range, you know, before I toss it to you, it does become interesting. Again, we do have Jacoby Brissett at only 5,300. DraftKings only priced him up $400 from his performance. He still feels way too cheap, especially with the price tag of Trey McBride, and you've been able to pair these guys and just really feel confident about where your lineup is sitting. So Jacoby Brissett definitely makes his way into the conversation for me for my three max builds. And then I probably won't get there, Kev, but, you know, Tyrod Taylor he's only 4,300, you know, and the pass catchers for the Jets are just so incredibly cheap that, like, if we think that there's a way to stack this game where, you know, it's not necessarily Lamar, maybe it's Derrick Henry, right? Or maybe it's Derrick Henry and somebody else from the Ravens, but Tyrod, you know, the target share, the target and his weapons are so condensed where at only 4,300, it gets you, it really frees up a lot what you can do for your lineup. I think that's an interesting play. I haven't really built it out thus far, but, you know, trying to get to some of these other pieces that are pretty expensive makes for an interesting play. Kev, what say you about quarterback this week, and where, you know, with it being Thursday, where are your builds taking you early on this week as we talk about the main slate for Sunday?
What did you kind of talk about? I mean, this slate offers so much because you have, you know, I think six games that are above 47.5 point totals. And, you know, the main one being the Patriots and the Bengals game. And, you know, you kind of talked about it. Joe Burrow looks like he's going to play. He's been getting all the first team reps this week, which I think people were a little surprised because, you know, we got the news last week that they opened up his practice though, but I think a lot of people thought he wasn't going to be back until the Thursday night game on Thanksgiving against the Ravens. But I think with that loss to the Steelers, like they pretty much have to win out for them to be able to make it. So I think they're just kind of rushing Joe Burrow back a little bit. This is a home matchup against a Patriots defense that's been good this year, but they've been a little more bend but don't break. Like, it's not necessarily a defense that you can't do anything against. Like, I think I would have liked the spot a little more if Jamar Chase was active in this one. But either way, I still think that game sets up really well. I think that you mentioned the Chiefs game. That is obviously a must-win game, and that game has one of the biggest line movements we've seen so far this weekend. It's right there between that game and then the Lions game with almost 5 points. It opened up at 45.5. It's all the way up to 50, and then same thing happened with the Lions and the Giants game. That game opened up 45. Now it's up to 50. So there's a lot of, like, really high-total games on this slate, and I think this sets up a lot better than I think we've had in the last couple of weeks, because I think there's so many different directions you can go. But I do really like Patrick Mahomes, 6,800. I think the Colts, their defense, I think they're a good defense. They're not like a defense that we should necessarily be afraid of. And I think it's a pretty easily stacked, right? You know where to go. You know it's him, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce for the most part with that offense. Now, that is a very expensive stack, right? And like that stack really has to go off to be able to pay off because of how expensive everybody is on that on that side. So like, I don't think it's like a must have, but I'm definitely going to have some interest there.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that. Giants and Lions game could go absolutely bonkers, because it sounds like we're going to get Jameis Winston. And again, for a second week, and we know Jameis, whatever, you know, like last week against the Packers, right? The Packers defense is really good. And for them to, and he put up pretty solid numbers, didn't have Darius Slayton in that game. You know, he wasn't terrible, 19 of 29, 200 passing yards, no touchdowns in that game, but he did have a rushing touchdown. But when it comes to Jameis, so like, I think there's a lot to like there at $4,600. The Lions secondary is completely banged up. It looks like they might be, again, without three of their four starting corners. And so, like, you know, like Jameis, we know he's just going to rip it, right? And he's $4,600. Darius Slayton is back at practicing again. So I think that is a plus with Theo Johnson or Wandell Robinson. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go there. And then my favorite running back on the slate, which I mean, we'll get there, but is Jahmyr Gibbs. And so, mm-hmm. like, I think it's a pretty easy stack to get to, and it's cheap on that side. You know, Winston's 4,600, Wandale or Darius Slayton, Theo Johnson, like, those guys are priced up. And then it allows you to kind of fit in a lot of these other pieces for this game. And so I do like that the Giants side here in that game. Eventually it's going to blow up on our faces, but, I mean, Jacoby Brissett is 100% play, and, like, the Jaguars pass defense is so bad. Like I know that they did really good against the Chargers last week. And we kind of talked about that as possibly being a trap game. You know, the Chargers traveling from East Coast or West Coast to East Coast always seems to be a thing with them. And it happened again, but they really just leaned on the run game. But I mean, either way, I mean, the Jaguars allow over 260 passing yards, over two passing touchdowns, 21.5 DraftKings points per game to quarterbacks. That is the fifth most on the slate. And so I think Brissett, you know, is a really good play. And like, he's been really good. This isn't just like just garbage time. I guess I know the last 2 weeks he's gotten there in garbage time, but the dude's averaging over 300 passing yards, two touchdowns, and 22 DraftKings points per game in his five starts. He's also sports a very good 72% completion percentage and a 7.4 yards per attempt, all ranked top 12. And the other thing that you really want when it comes to this environment are offenses that are going to, that are going to throw the ball at a really high rate. And the Cardinals have been extremely pass heavy, throwing the ball 41 times per game. And so there's just a lot to like here with this spot in this game. And so I think overall, I really like this spot. I probably can't get to Trevor Lawrence, but Jacoby Brissett, I know everybody's going to want to play Michael Wilson again. I'm going to bet that Lightning doesn't strike twice, and that if he's going to be super chalky, I'm going to stick with what I had. I'm going to keep going back to Trey McBride. I said it last week. I'm going to keep saying it. Trey McBride right now is like a wide receiver one. He is an elite wide receiver one with the production that he is putting up every single week. And he's scoring touchdowns. He's being fed absolutely, an insane amount of targets. It's like 11 targets per game. And right now, like on the season, Trey McBride is like the wide receiver 4 or 5 overall, or he's the RB6. Like that's the kind of production you're getting from Trey McBride, and he's still not expensive enough. Like I said last week, he should be 7,500, 8K, and he's 6,800. Like it's still not expensive enough for him. And so Trey McBride, Greg Dortch, Jacoby Brissett, if you want to run it back, I think it's also with the running back. Travis Etienne would have been my initial thought. But we might get some value open up on that side because Travis Etienne picked up a shoulder injury and picked up. And today he was in a non-contact jersey. We'll have to see if he's able to go, which would open the door for Bashaul Tutin. But either way, that game sets up really well. Really like the Jacoby Brissett side. I think it's pretty easy to stack. And then the other one, maybe the game that nobody is also talking about is the Philadelphia and Dallas game in Dallas. Yeah. Like nobody's talking about that game at all. Like, it's all the talks going to these other games. And I know Philly's defense has been phenomenal. And it's, but it is in Dallas. That games in Dallas tend to get weird. And a lot of points end up being scored. You know, we've seen, like, the Packers really good defense go in there. And the Dallas Cowboys absolutely light that defense up. And so, like, that game could also, you know, catch fire and could end up being, like, the best game on the slate as well.
Yeah, no, Kev, I'm happy you brought that one up. Definitely glossed over Jalen Hurts, who I do have some interest in Jalen Hurts this week. So, I think for me at the top, you know, I think Lamar's definitely my favorite. I'm going to keep Patrick Mahomes in mind. You know me, I usually run three to five teams and three max and five entry max. But Hurts is up there because, you know, traveling into this, you know, the dome there in Dallas, you know, expect fireworks potentially, you know, in this game, right? Like you said, Kev, the games in Dallas are always weird. These home games, you know, we know that Dak can show up, you know, against any defense, right? And in these home matchups, as they tend to be, for whatever reason, they tend to be a little bit more pass happy than when they're on the road. And, you know, if we remember back to week one with this game, I mean, in Philly, we were potentially going to see fireworks in this game before the game ended abruptly with lightning, or, you know, not abruptly, but we didn't get a full game, right, of goodness with these two teams going back and forth. You know, Jalen Carter didn't eject it because he spit on Dak Prescott, another spitting incident, of course. I think we could definitely be in for some things. And Kev, when you look at the prices for AJ Brown and Devonta Smith going against this Dallas defense, like, what are we doing? Both of them being under 6K, like, you know, and you know, how many times are we going to go through this? You know, AJ Brown complaining in the media about what's going on in Philly. You know, his price tag gets low on DraftKings, and then he comes out has a squeaky wheel game. You know, and of course he's going up against Dallas this week to be able to do so. So yeah, I think I definitely love the Philly side a lot more than the Dallas side. Ironically, I mean, these guys are just so the Dak is always liable to pop off right at home. He's 6,400, but, like, you know, when you have to pair him with CD 7,900, George Pickens at 6,900, it gets expensive. You know, even Ferguson, you know, he's 5,300, which is, you know, $1,500 more gets you to McBride. So, like, it's tough to do from the Dallas standpoint, but I definitely could get behind the Eagles passing attack in that matchup with Jalen Hurts only being 6,600. Kev, is there anything else that stands out to you on this week from a quarterback perspective?
Yeah, I think there's one other game. I think it's Caleb Williams against the Steelers here. And, you know, Caleb is at home. Now, I'll say on one hand, from, like, a pure fantasy perspective, you know, DFS perspective, Caleb Williams has been really well. Like, he's played really well. He's averaging almost 20 DraftKings points a game. He is top 12 in fantasy points per dropback. Like, all that's great, but he hasn't been efficient at all. Like, he is 18th in EPA per dropback, but he's completing just 59% of his passes. That's only slightly better than Cam Ward, Dylan Gabriel, and JJ McCarthy. Not great. And so, one area that really has helped him, though, is his rushing upside. He has the 7th most rushing yards and has 3 rushing touchdowns, also ranked 8th most among quarterbacks. So that has helped, but the Steelers' pass defense, for the most part this year, has been terrible. They're allowing 280 passing yards, nearly 2 passing touchdowns, and 22 DraftKings points per game to quarterbacks. The Bears are 2.5-point favorites, and they also have the 10th highest implied team total on this slate. And so I think there is a lot to like here with Caleb Williams and his passing attack. I think you can go with Roma Dunze. They've been really bad against outside wide receivers. Roma Dunze can eat in this game. Maybe it's a galaxy brain type of play, like an off the wall play, but I think I'm going to play Luther Burns.
No, he's a great play, Kev. He's
a great play. We can talk more about it when we get to wide receivers, but I think he's in play. And so Caleb Williams, though, I think is also in play at 5,700. And the other positive is we have zero weather concerns at all. Like, I went and brought up Rotor Grinders weather, and, like, there's nothing on there because, like, there's zero concern with any game. So that's a big plus as well for this weekend. But I think Caleb Williams is the other quarterback that I really like.
Yeah, you know, I think that game becomes it's very interesting and very live to go off if we get Rodgers. If we have Mason Rudolph, it makes me a little bit more concerned and tepid about how this game can go. I'm also curious to see what the injury report comes in on for the Steelers running back situation. The defense has actually for the Steelers has been pretty solid as of late. I know, you know, we've been picking on them all season long, and that's, you know, reaped in a time or two, but they've really kind of, you know, gotten it together. They're getting more pressure now. The thing is that, you know, when you pressure Caleb, he's been able to make stuff happen, you know, with his legs and making throws on the run. So I think this game would really set up. I'd be really interested in going to this one if we do get Rodgers, because, you know, I forget what it is, but he's got like a 26-5 record against the Bears lifetime. Always loves playing in Chicago, always makes stuff happen. And just playing in front of that crowd, I think he'll be apt to do some things. So we like when Caleb can be pushed. That definitely makes things enticing. So shout out to you for bringing that one up.
Yeah, I did see that. Looks like Jalen Johnson's going to be back, so that's a big boost for the Bears defense.
That's huge.
They definitely need that. One of the best, probably top five corner in the league. Probably good to get. It's going to be good to get him back. But Jalen Warren did. You brought him up. He returned to practice today. So.
Okay, good.
It looks like that there's a shot that he's going to be able to play as well.
Excellent. That's what we want to see. Hey, Kev, bringing up running backs, let's talk about the running back situation. And running back, man, has been the bread and butter of DFS, of fantasy this year. I mean, we're so accustomed to, you know, over the past couple of years, right, the passing attacks and you know, really jamming in the high-end wide receivers, you know, even in season long, you know, these receivers are the ones who are going early. It's not necessarily the running backs. It's not in your running back league anymore, quote-unquote, right? But, you know, we've been seeing it now. We've seen this trend kind of buck, you know, over the past year or two, where, you know, these running backs who are in really good positions, even with the way the league's gone, right, Kev, where it's like, you know, there's no just guy, you know, there's rarely ever a Jonathan Taylor situation, right, where the guy's getting 90% of the running back touches. They're mixing and matching these guys in and alleviating, you know, some of these backfields. But, you know, these guys are just they're popping off at an insane rate. And from a DFS standpoint, Kev, like we talked about running back in the flex, getting to three running backs, running, you know, whether it's cheap running backs. We've had some cheap running back smash on weeks, you know, to where you want to get three in, or the high price running backs. I mean, last week, you know, what was it? Bijan, and then we had McCaffrey, and we had, you know, there was Gibbs 2 weeks ago. Like these high price running backs have been popping at an insane rate, and the wide receivers just haven't been doing it. The way, you know, paying up for wide receiver just hasn't gotten it done so far this year, unless you're, you know, even paying for Jamar Chase, you know, on some weeks hasn't done it, even though he's had a 40 burger and, you know, close to a 50 burger on his docket. But, you know, we talk about running back here. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor's 10K, $1,500 cheaper, $1,500. Yes, that's right. Cheaper than him is Bijan Robinson. I mean, I could have interest in Bijan against this New Orleans team. It is Kirk Cousins, right? There's no Michael Penix, we're not going to have Drake London. So, you know, is there ever a time to give Bijan, you know, the ball 30 times? Maybe give him some goal line work, as you like to, you know, mention Tyler Allgeier, the goal line back there for Atlanta, you know, who knows, but at 8,500, I think he's definitely interesting. You talked about Jahmyr Gibbs being your favorite play. I mean, I'm absolutely playing him on any golf team that I have, on any Lions overstack that I have, because even on 16, you know, touches, this guy could, you know, go for a buck. So, and then we know he can take one to a house from anywhere. 8,300, you know, he definitely, that's a fair price tag for him, and rightfully so. So I'd definitely be looking to get him into my lineups. You know, Josh Jacobs being on the injury report, I doubt that he plays with this knee injury. I think we're going to get Emmanuel Wilson week, and Emmanuel Wilson's 5,300. You like that, you know, DraftKings, he's not the minimum, right? That we've already got him priced up. He was seeing a little bit of work. I expect Emmanuel Wilson to be popular as we get closer, with Jacobs being, you know, potentially ruled out. I don't know that I'll necessarily get there. It is a home matchup against Minnesota, so he could definitely be on the field a ton. But I don't really know what the upside is for Emmanuel Wilson. I just think this Green Bay, you know, offense is kind of ass in a shell of themselves right now. But, you know, he is 5,300, potentially going to be a lead back. So Emmanuel Wilson becomes interesting. I do have interest in both Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley as well at the top two. Derrick Henry, even when I'm playing Lamar teams, I'm going to try and fit him in. And if I wasn't playing Lamar, I think, you know, in this matchup against the Jets, I really think he could get going. Saquon Barkley becomes a little bit tougher. One, because the passing attack is just so cheap for Philly. And you kind of know that they, you know, they can do it from that way. Saquon really hasn't had, you know, these explosive runs that we've been accustomed to seeing or even saw last year. But, you know, the matchup is good. I think points are, we can expect points to be had. And then we, you know, talk about Travion Henderson, right? He's 6,700. Even with Ramondre Stevenson being back, he's taken a real stronghold of this, you know, offensive backfield with him being out. There has been a ton of coach speak, right, that Stevenson was the lead back. I, you know, Stevenson comes back, I expect him to still give him work because that's how Vrabel's kind of alluded to him all season, even with the fumble issues. But it's just hard to see, like, Travion not getting a lion's share of the work or majority of the work, whether it's a 60-40 split or what have you. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on that, Kev, because I think Travion Henderson will be one of the more popular plays on the slate going against the Cincinnati defense, who lets up points in bunches to the running back position at 6,700. Other guys that I think are interesting, you know, from this slate are it's definitely the Jacksonville backfield, you know, who's going to suit up there. They're going to find themselves in a good spot against this Arizona defense that, you know, is not really good against the run and hasn't been for the past couple of weeks. We talked about Emmanuel Wilson there, 5,300 for Green Bay, probably going to be, you know, popular for some people. And then, you know, I don't think I'll go there, but the Arizona situation, you know, might even make Jacoby Brissett more of a, like, do we just play this guy again? Because Bam Knight's on the injury report, DeMarcado is banged up, potentially Trey Benson's coming back, but it's just not a good matchup for this Arizona, you know, run game. So, you know, I say all that to say, you know, that just might lean into more Jacoby Brissett lineups. And then, Kev, before I toss it to you, I do think it's worth mentioning here. So David Montgomery's 5,300. He's the same price as Emmanuel Wilson. If Emmanuel Wilson's going to be popular, might just get leverage there on just playing Montgomery. He's definitely, you know, he's still got a role, even with the way Jahmyr Gibbs has been playing. We know that they're going to give him red zone looks. We know that they, you know, they don't care about necessarily taking him out when games are ahead. And even then, Kev, I feel like when games are ahead for Detroit, they're more apt to bring David Montgomery in and get work and then take Jahmyr Gibbs out when they're up by 20 points or more. So David Montgomery, I think, is a solid leverage play this week as well. Kev, what are you doing at the running back position and how's it shaping up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I already mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, I love that. He's my favorite player on the slate. I just think he can absolutely go nuclear here. I don't really have that much interest in playing Jonathan Taylor. I know he's been absolutely phenomenal. And it's really not even the price. I mean, yes, the price is prohibitive. Like, he has to go out and just absolutely nuke. Like, which, I mean, he's more than capable of. I mean, he's put up, you know, 35-plus points multiple times this year. So, like, he certainly can do it.
Just had a 50.
Yeah, just but this also – this is also not a great matchup. The Chiefs have, for the most part, outside of one game against the, you know, against James Cook, has been really good against the run. Like, they have shut down Derrick Henry, they shut down Saquon Barkley. Like they've been a pretty solid run defense all year. And so I am not probably going to get to any Jonathan Taylor. I don't think you need to with the players that are around him. I do agree that Atlanta and Bijan Robinson, you know, he kind of you know, had himself a really solid week last week after, you know, really some really down weeks, scored 33 DraftKings points last week against the Panthers. And I mean, I think this game could end up being gross. Like, so I think it's definitely possible that Bijan Robinson can, but still in that range, it's going to be it's going to be Jahmyr Gibbs for me for sure. I think as far as Travion Henderson is concerned, like, on one hand, I totally get the thought process of, yes, Stevenson's going to be back. And yes, I will agree with you. There's definitely a non-zero chance that it is Stevenson that all of a sudden goes back just being the lead back, which would just be absolutely ridiculous to me because, I mean, Travion Henderson has looked so good the last 2 weeks. Like, I'm not saying that, like, Stevenson won't have some sort of role, but like it would be almost shocking to me if Stevenson went back to like basically, I mean, not the workhorse, but like, because he wasn't even the workhorse before he got hurt. Like, he was still only playing about 55% of the snaps in that backfield and seeing about 16 carries a game, somewhere or anywhere from 14 to 16 carries. But I think that he's probably more of the short yardage back and probably get some goal line opportunities, where I still think Trevion would have to be the probably a 60-40 split among the running back touches as well as the pass catching work. So I think Henderson's in play, but there's definitely some volatility to it because you're dealing with, Mike Vrabel, but he's 6,700. It is by far the best matchup on the slate for any running back. The Bengals have just been absolutely terrible against running backs all year. And so, I mean, they're allowing 140 rushing yards, over a touchdown per game. In the passing game, they've also been terrible, allowing nearly 50 receiving yards and half a receiving touchdown per game to running backs. They've easily allowed the most DraftKings points to running backs. And on one other note, too, like on the season, Ramondre Stevenson has averaged just 3.4 yards per carry, which is not something I typically look for, but I think it's a fair comparison whenever you're doing it teammate to teammate because they're operating in the same set of circumstances. Where Trevion Henderson has averaged almost 5 yards per carry, and he's much better efficiency-wise, 28th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 16th in breakaway run rate, 29th in yards created per touch, compared to Ramondre, who's 40th in missed tackles forced, 36th in breakaway run rate, and 45th in yards created per touch. So, I mean, Trevion Henderson's been better in every aspect. But again, believing rational coaching is going to be a thing is also an issue that you shouldn't look past either when it comes to the situation. So, at his price, maybe if he's going to be really popular, maybe you just steer away from it. But, man, that matchup is absolutely phenomenal for him. I think just kind of some other options here on this slate. Kenneth Walker. We talked about him last week as like a play because he was 5,300 and he finally did it. It wasn't a huge day, but at 5,100 last week, 20 DraftKings points, 16 carries, 67 yards. Was also targeted 3 times, a touchdown, and a really tough matchup against the Rams. And now this week he played the Titans and he's not much more expensive than he was last week. 5,400, slight little boost to him, but not nothing crazy, but it is a much better matchup. They're also 13.5 point favorites, but the Titans are allowing 4.7 yards per carry, 134.7 rushing yards, and 1.5 touchdowns per game to running backs. And there was a lot of positive coach speak this week from Mike McDonald talking about him, saying that he has earned more touches moving forward and that they want to get him even more involved than he is. And so I will say too, a little bit of the narrative that Zach Charbonnet, this gets all of the goal line work, isn't necessarily true. It's actually 9 carries to 6 carries on the year. It's just been Charbonnet has scored 5 touchdowns on those 9 carries compared to just 3 for Walker. So it does seem a little bit more like that. But either way, I do like Kenneth Walker here in this matchup against the Titans at $5,400. I think he could easily crush that prize and be a viable option. I would love to have said Travis Etienne because he's too cheap at 5,900 against Arizona. But this injury issue, something we'll have to monitor because it kind of popped up. Nobody really was – and really people I think were expecting Bashaul Tuten to miss this week because of him leaving last week. But it appears to be the reverse. And if something were to happen and Etienne didn't play in this game, Tuten's $4,600. Like, he's going to be a crazy chalky because he's $4,600 in a grand. In a great matchup against the Cardinals.
Yeah, he would be a smash. Now, what becomes interesting, Kev, is if Tuten misses as well, and then who's behind him? I think we got our boy Schrader, right, from Mizzou, M-I-Z.
I think it would be LaQuinn Allen, I think is probably.
Okay, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
$4,300. But
preseason dollar.
I think Tuten will play. I mean, he's been practicing Wednesday and Thursday, so I expect Tuten to play. But I agree with you. The other one too, you brought up the, I actually think Josh Jacobs is going to play. Like LaFleur on Monday said that he had a chance to play. And the fact that he's already back at practice on Thursday, they said it was just like basically slammed his knee against the ground, his knee swelled up. But they said the swelling is pretty much already gone. and now he just needs to get the range of motion back in it, is basically what they were saying. So I think he's going to play in this game. Like he was back at practice. They were, you know, seeing him run around out there. Like, I think he's going to be okay. Like, I think he'll end up playing. And I don't think Emmanuel Wilson is going to be in play. But
okay,
I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. And I will say the Packers are notoriously cautious when it comes to their players. So, like, it's definitely, you know, within the range of outcomes that he doesn't play. But I lean that he will play. They made it seem like it was much less, not as big of a concern than other people were trying to make it. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, obviously, I mean, he's 50, what, three, where's Wilson? $5,300?
Yeah, 5,300.
Yeah.
He's 5,300. I'm on the edge, so I don't think the knee is as serious as we once thought, right? I do think, you know, people who, and maybe I was one of them, cough, cough, I won't talk about that, but the people who play season long, right, who are just blowing all their fab that's remaining, you know, on Emmanuel Wilson, I was like, okay, you might only get him for 1 week, right? Because I don't think it's as serious. However, like this, I mean, Green Bay needs wins, right? That's a foregone conclusion. This is at home. They really need to show out to divisional opponent. But, like, if you can't beat J.J. McCarthy, like, at home the way that this dude's been playing, then, like, you might not be set up for success. And they have a short week where they're going to be playing Detroit, where they gotta show out for that game. So they're going to need Jacobs for that. So on a short week, I don't know that they'll necessarily rush him back. I could see, you know, I think, Kev, you bring up a good point where, like, Jacobs could be active, right? And, like, they might just monitor, you know, his touches to the extent of, like, okay, you know, do we have this game in hand? All right, so we don't need you to go out there and be Superman like you have been for us, you know, pretty much since you've joined this team, and we'll let Emmanuel get it going. But if it is close, you know, against Minnesota, maybe they do, you know, bring him in and set packages and let him do his thing. But, I mean, they really do need him for that Detroit game on Thanksgiving. So on a short week, I feel like they'll gear him up for that game instead. And that's why I feel like Wilson might be the lead. But yeah, on the same page with you, Kev, is it not being as serious as we originally thought. Are there any other running back options, Kev, that are sticking out on the page to you early on this week as we break things down before we move it to receiver?
I mean, I do think, like, the Derrick Henry call, I think, is very viable against the Jets at home. Like, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, in a much tougher matchup last week is Cleveland. Like, Cleveland's been really good against the run. Like, we kind of saw him put it together, 18 carries, 103 yards, a score, you know, in that game against the, you know, 23 DraftKings points last week. It's a much tougher matchup. And so, like, Derrick Henry could easily smash. Like, it's been a while, I feel like, since we've really, outside of week one, I guess you have to go back to there, where, like, he's had, like, just a blow-up spot. Like, I feel like he's kind of getting due. It's getting cold outside. You have a team in the Jets. Like, how much more do they really care at this point with as far out as they are and all the situation stuff that's going on there? So, like, Derrick Henry is 7,600. I always find it hard to play him because if he doesn't score, like, he has to score touchdowns, and you really, really want him to score multiple touchdowns because he's never involved in the passing game, and you're paying $7,600 for him. That makes it the tough part because at this point, if Jacobs doesn't play, that makes him the fourth most expensive quarter or running back on the slate. And I just think it's a little bit tougher to trust. But I do think it's a good matchup, and I think it's certainly a direction you can go. But there is certainly volatility with playing him. And then I think the other one would just still be Chase Brown. He's $6,200. Samaje Perine's going to be out. It's not necessarily the best matchup because the Patriots have actually done a pretty good job against running back so far this year. But where he can still get there is through the air. I mean, the dude's been targeted 22 times the last two games. And even with Joe Burrow, if he's back, like, Joe Burrow is a notorious checkdown quarterback. Like, he will still pepper Chase Brown with targets. So it doesn't hurt him that if Joe Flacco's not in there with Joe Burrow. And so it's still going to be really good results for Chase Brown if he's in there. And he's $6,200. So I think he's the other guy that I do think makes some sense here. And then maybe Breece Hall against the Ravens. Like, the Ravens have struggled at times against the run. Their defensive line is still extremely banged up. And maybe with Tyrod Taylor, now you take away that. I mean, Tyrod Taylor in his day, you know, could run the ball and, you know, was effective, like, scrambling. But, I mean, Tyrod Taylor is much older. Ty God, you know, has been around for a while. But I don't think he's the same guy he used to be. So maybe you see more checkdowns and stuff like that to Breece Hall, where Breece Hall's a little bit more involved in the passing game than he was before. But that's probably a lot more thin. Like, if I'm playing 150 lineups, I'd probably want some Breece Hall in my life. I will say one running back that I'm not excited about that I think is going to be popular is Quinshon Judkins, 6K. I know a lot of people are going to think that Cleveland, which should, especially with their defense, should be able to go in there and get the job done. Quinshon Judkins is one of the more game script dependent running backs in the league because he's also not involved in the passing game at all. And so, like, he definitely has to get there through volume, but, like, he just hasn't been very good, to be quite honest with you. Like, he's had a couple of games, a couple of spots where, like, he's been good, especially earlier in the year. But, like on a per-touch basis, like, he doesn't do anything for me. He hasn't been explosive. And, like, low-key, like, we've kind of talked about it in, like, our chat like with Maddie, but, like, the Raiders have been really good against the run this year. Like, the Raiders are not a team that you can just go in there and run all over. I mean, and so, like, I am not excited about Quinshon Judkins. If he's going to be, like, popular, that's one piece of chalk that I won't have any part of.
Yeah. No, I agree. He's not even on my radar for this week. So the fact that you're alluding to him being popular is very enticing to me because I probably won't even get there.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With the way that the slate's shaping up, interesting week, interesting looks that we have thus far for the Week 12 main slate. Guys, it's the Degen Nation podcast. We're coming at you. We're live. We're back on your stream, on your podcast streaming. We appreciate everybody who's tuning in, whether it be live or listening back, as we break down the Week 12 picks from the DraftKings perspective. It's the Degen Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authorities, where you can find us on Twitter and X. Kev, we got to break down the wide receiver position. And as I kind of alluded to, you know, through the top and through the podcast, like it's been tough to like pay up for these wide receivers at the top. And especially on a week like this week where there's so much value that is coming up on the page already from the wide receiver standpoint, it is going to be tough. But the two of my favorite plays, Kev, as I even say all that, are high-priced wide receivers. And they're the two high-priced wide receivers. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba, and it's Amon-Ra St. Brown at 8K. Amon-Ra in Lion Smashes has been absolutely banana. He's been berserk. And I feel like he always goes overlooked in spots like this where they have a chance to put up 30 plus. And yes, he is 8K, but like you forget about the price tag when this dude is going out there and, you know, catching his eighth ball for, you know, $120 and, you know, has his second touchdown of the day because that's just what he tends to do. I expect this offense to get going. And so I absolutely, you know, I almost always play Amon-Ra paired with Jared Goff. I very rarely play him on his own because if he's getting 30, like what is Jared Goff doing? But you know, I'm definitely gonna, he won't be missing from my Jared Goff team. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's 9K. Kev, we got the two touchdown game coming from this guy. Everybody, you know, it's playing the Titans on the road. It's like, oh, can Seattle, like, is the Seattle passing game viable? Yeah, any way to attack this Tennessee defense is viable. And, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, like, is putting up 23, you know, DraftKings points without getting a touchdown. Like, what, this dude is just absolutely insane. The volume that he's seeing is really incredible. And if he's finding pay dirt once or twice, he's going to put up 30 DK points with the way that he's been treated in this offense. The 9K price tag is totally fair. We have plenty of value to be able to get to him. He's one of my favorite plays on the slate just because, like, we don't have Christian McCaffrey. We don't have Puka Nacua. And we do have some value spots elsewhere to be able to fit him. So definitely going to be trying to get him in my team. I absolutely love Rashee Rice. If I'm playing Patrick Mahomes, like I said, I do expect KC to really pull out all the stops here to get a win and definitely, you know, playing a formidable opponent of Indy on the other end. I expect points to be scored. That's interesting to me. T. Higgins is going to be a tough one for me, Kev. It will really, you know, I'll really have a hard time not wanting to play him if Joe Burrow's out there, because, you know, with no Jamar Chase, like, they're just going to have to feed him the ball. It is going to be a tough matchup, because I think they can just double team him. They can put Christian Gonzalez on him, New England, that is, and, like, make it hard. He's 7,100, right? So, like, it's not like, you know, he's in the 6K range where it would be a little bit more of a slam dunk play. But without Jamar Chase out there, I mean, you know, come on. Like, he's got to see the targets. I just don't know what the upside is for him. The Dallas guys, you know, they just popped off. It's going to be hard-pressed for me to get to them. No real interest there. I'm really circling Chris Olave at this point at 6,400. Like, he's really come on strong, Kev, and, like, this Atlanta defense, you know, it's been giving up points in bunches to wide receivers. Shout out to Tet McMillan, the rookie last week, who went absolutely berserk against them. And, yes, it's, you know, Tyler Shaw, or however you pronounce his name, this rookie over here. But, you know, if there's one thing we could trust for these rookies, it's to find the guy who's going to be the guy in the offense who can get open and get the ball to him. And so Chris Olave definitely stands out on the page to be that guy for me this week. Definitely will be, you know, kind of at the early, you know, portion of this week, I'm trying to build lineups with potentially him being a staple. I talked about the Eagles receivers being too cheap. I got to look at AJ Brown first. He's only 5,900 this week. It's like, we talk about it all the time. Anytime AJ Brown is under 6K, I think we should just get an alert from DraftKings to notify us that we're playing AJ Brown that week and just keep it moving. Because he tends to usually smash in those spots. Jameson Williams at only 5,700 is very nice. I feel like you could play him on Detroit over stacks, or you could play him solo with the way that he's being utilized in this offense. They told us they were going to get him involved more after the bye, and they've done just that. His numbers have been absolutely incredible, and you could really see them scheming work to him. So I think he's definitely interesting. Alec Pierce is interesting to me, and Casey as a bring back in KC stacks with the way his role has kind of carved out for Indy. He's 5K. I think he's interesting. Of course, we got to talk about the Arizona, you know, wide receivers. We got, you know, Michael Wilson priced up pretty much $1,000, right? He was 3,800 last week. He's 4,800 this week. And even though, you know, the target share, as you alluded to, Kev, is not, you know, we don't really expect to see that this week, but at 4,800, I mean, he's still, you know, he's going to be a primary option for Jacoby Brissett. He's too cheap. Great Dortch, 4,300, still feels too cheap. Like, Arizona passing attack is just back on the board. There's going to be, you know, I think we're going to have value, you know, potentially on the Giants side of things. We're going to have value, you know, there's maybe Andre Yoshivas comes into a conversation without Jamar Chase being out at 4,100. There's some value here, Kev, at the wide receiver position. You mentioned Luther Burden, who I don't think it's a thin play at all, Kev, the way he's kind of been utilized over the past couple of weeks. He's 3,600. He's actually run more routes, you know, pour one out to OZ. He did what he needed to do for us early on this week, Olamide Zaccheaus, that is. But now since that, Luther Burden has actually, you know, seen his snap share gone up each week and has really, you know, been on the field in key moments for Caleb. And so if you like Caleb stacks this week, I think you definitely consider Luther Burden in those stacks for sure. And then, Kev, before I toss it to you, I got two things to bring up. So these Jets wide receivers, right? We got John Mechie. We got A.D. Mitchell. Both of these guys are super cheap. I expect both of them to be on the field. I mean, we saw Mechie catch a touchdown last week. A.D. Mitchell, like, this guy just can't catch a break. You know, he dropping passes last week. He had the, you know, snafu earlier on in the season with the Colts where he's celebrating before he gets into the end zone. But, you know, he's going to be on the field. I mean, for all intents and purposes, if they're going to be trailing in a game script here against Baltimore, you know, definitely have interest in Jets pass catchers because of what they do for your lineup and opening things up at, you know, 3,300 for Mechie and 3,200 respectively for A.D. Mitchell. So they're interesting. And then, Kev, I'm not sure I'll get there, but Jerry Jeudy, you know, he saw himself getting some work with Shedeur Sanders. We have another week where it's going to be Shedeur Sanders, right? And you mentioned it, like, we, you know, it's going to be a tough run matchup for them with Quinshon Judkins getting going. So do they let Shedeur just go out there and let it fly? You know, who knows? And Jerry Jeudy, you know, this is the guy. I never play him when he's popular, but tend to, you know, can get to him when he's not popular. He could be some leverage off of these guys in the 4K range, because we know, you know, he definitely has explosive output in his range of outcomes. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. But talk to the people about wide receiver this week and what you might be doing, Kev, as you build your lineups.
Yeah, I think, one, I actually don't mind Jerry Jeudy. 19 targets the last 2 weeks for him.
Yeah.
Did have that game against, you know, the Jets, where he had almost 20 DraftKings points there. So, like, I don't necessarily hate it. He did target Jerry Jeudy quite a bit whenever Shedeur Sanders came in. And I think the internet would break if Shedeur Sanders came out and actually played well in this spot. Yeah. You know, like, because there's so many people that just want him to fail. And or seem like they want him to fail. But, yeah, I do think Jerry Jeudy, and it's a good spot. Like, the Raiders have really struggled against wide receivers this year. Like, it is a really good matchup for Jerry Jeudy in the spot here against the Raiders. So, like, I don't necessarily hate that play at $4,100. I think in terms of overall, in terms of the wide receivers on the slate, I think, you know, I'm not really that excited to play JSN. Like, he's 9K now. He keeps going up. And, he's basically getting you, like, 20 to 25 DraftKings points a week, which is fine. You know, but, like, it's not like when he's 9K, like, I need
without seeing the end zone, though, Kev.
Well, I mean, he scored 20.3 against Arizona, and he found the end zone in that one, 5 for 93 and 1. But like, I get it. But, like, he has to score like 35. But I feel like Seattle, like, we know what they're going to do. Like it's very possible that Sam Darnold could only throw the ball like 15 times in that game.
No, for sure.
Like it's just that's just what they will do. And they will just run the ball. And that's just what worries me about paying up for someone like JSN in this spot. And so I would rather play Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's $1,000 cheaper. I'd rather play Rashee Rice, who's $7,700, who's, you know, $1,300 cheaper. And so I just think there's better wide receivers in that range that I would just rather pay down for than paying up for JSN. Not saying that JSN can't get there. Obviously, he's been phenomenal this year. But he's also just hasn't displayed, like, a ton of, like, massive spike week potential, and that's mainly because, like, a lot of these games they really haven't been pushed. Like, they have pretty much manhandled most teams that they played. And so you know, I'm just not as excited to get there. I do like I do like T. Higgins. Like, I do get it with him, but, like, he's been really good this year, especially, you know, at over the last, like, month and a half, like, basically, you know, since Joe Flacco came in. He's been really good, averaging 7.2 targets, 70 receiving yards, and nearly a touchdown per game, 17 DraftKings points per game for him. He has spike week potential. I think without Ja'Marr Chase, you're probably going to see at least 10 to 12 targets for him. He's also been a focal point in the red zone here, and the Patriots allow the third most touchdowns to wide receivers this year. And so I think Higgins is in a good spot. On the other side of that game, I am really into Stephon Diggs. Diggs has been really good. It's been impressive as hell, to be honest. The fact that he's 32 years old, he's coming off an ACL tear last year, and he has played, but he's been phenomenal. He's currently being targeted on 27% of routes run so far this year. He ranks 8th in yards per route run, 18th in yards per pass attempts. He's been another 27% red zone target share for him. He's top 12 among wide receivers. And if you look, really since week 4, like, he's been even better. He's actually the wide receiver 7 overall, averaging over 16 DraftKings points per game since that span. Now, I would be the first to tell you that, like, I would be nervous to play him if he was playing on the outside, because DJ Turner has been really good. We kind of talked about him before, but he is, like, the lone bright spot for the Bengals defense. He is only allowing a 51% completion percentage and just a 79% or 79.5 passer rating when targeted this year. So DJ Turner has been really good, but he pretty much exclusively plays on the outside. Good news for Diggs is Diggs runs 68% of his routes from the slot. And so I don't think he's really going to be seeing any DJ Turner. So I think he's going to see a lot of Daxton Hill, who allows over a 70% completion percentage and a 95.5 passer rating when targeted. So I like Stefon Diggs a lot. He's not overly expensive at his price. He's 6,500. So I really like Stefon Diggs. I like Chris Olave a lot. He's clearly the, you know, the alpha wide receiver in this offense. He was prior to them even trading Rashid Shaheed, and it's only going to get better from here. And, you know, Tyler Shook actually looked decent whenever the last time we saw him before they went on bye. But he has a strong 27.5% target per out run rate, 33.8% first read target share. Both of those rank inside the top 12 for wide receivers. He also is doing a lot of the stuff that you want to see, especially in a tournament type setting, DraftKings, where he has 17 deep targets. He's also well inside the top 10 and red zone targets as well. And so, and the Saints have been a very pass heavy offense this year with Kellen Moore. 37 pass attempts per game, which has allowed Olave to be a pretty strong play. So, and the Falcons have allowed the 7th most touchdowns and the 13th most DraftKings points to wide receivers. So I think Chris Olave is a really good play here, at cost. And so I like him as well. I agree with you that, anytime AJ Brown is sub 6K, he is enticing. The only pushback I would give is the Cowboys tend to play a lot of man, or excuse me, a heavy zone, excuse me. They don't play a lot of man. And I mean, AJ Brown has crushed man coverage, where Devonta Smith is the zone beater in this offense. And so it makes me lean more towards Devonta Smith at 5,600. He's actually cheaper in this matchup. So I like Devonta Smith at 5,600. I think when we're talking about paying down, this Chiefs game on the Colts side, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the Colts decide to do, because for the most part this year, the Chiefs do, because the Chiefs have been a very heavy man coverage off our defense, which I think would better suit Alec Pierce if that was the case. If it's not and they go heavy zone, I think that's where Michael Pittman and Josh Downs come into play. So, I mean, picking your poison, but Alec Pierce has been really good, especially recently prior to their bye. He's been playing really well. He's 5K, 18.4, 20.5 DraftKings points each of the last 2 weeks. So Alec Pierce is kind of interesting at 5K. In terms of like the 5K and below range, Christian Watson's one of my favorite plays down in this range. 20.6 DraftKings points the last time they played. Now, he's not seeing a heavy target share. He's much more of a downfield threat. He has like a ridiculous 22.2 average depth of target and like a 19.6 yards per reception. Like, he's much more of a downfield threat for this offense, but he looks like the best wide receiver in this offense right now. And so Christian Watson, $4,600. I like him. Darius Slayton, I think you could probably go there as well with all the players that are out here. If Brian Thomas doesn't play, and right now I don't know if Brian Thomas is going to play. He's limited again. That's what he was last week. All week. If he doesn't play, then I think Jakobi Meyers in another week of this offense, though, at 4,700 against a really bad secondary, they're a really bad defense now in this Cardinals defense that has just been getting abused in recent weeks. But $4,700, Jakobi Meyers. I like Greg Dortch. I like Greg Dortch still more than Michael Wilson. I know Michael Wilson just went nuclear, but I know Michael Wilson's going to be really, really chalky this weekend. People are going to be chasing that production he just put up. But like I said it last week, I'll say it again. Anytime Greg Dortch plays over 60% of the snaps or runs 60% of the routes, he averages over 13 DraftKings points per game. I know that's not like an incredibly high number, but last week he scored 18.6. He was still involved in this offense. He's cheaper than Michael Wilson. He's $4,300. I really like him. Andre Ishavas, I think you could go there. He's 4,100. He actually plays more in the slot, which is actually good news because he's not going to be seeing Christian Gonzalez. And he actually gets the best matchup on the slate against Marcus Jones, who has really struggled in the slot. He's their primary slot corner. It allows 0.31 fantasy points per route run, which is 10th worst among all corners. And he also allows a 97.9 passer rating. And he's already allowed 5 touchdowns to wide receivers this year. So Ishivas is in play. Ooh. And then you've already mentioned Burton. Don't really need to go much deeper than that. Well, you've already kind of brought it all up. Ben Johnson spoke really positive of him this week, said that they want to get him even more involved than he already has been. And so I think Luther Burden, 3,600, I think is another player I would like.
Yeah, absolutely, Kev. Wax poetic to the people. Let them know. Of all that, Kev, I think, the biggest one to, bring up is Jakobi Meyers, right? Jakobi Meyers at 4,700. He's going to be a guy who pops in Optimals and simulators too. if we don't get Brian Thomas, because he was popping off the off pages when he was with the Raiders. You know, now you put him into this situation with Jacksonville, and to be able to take, you know, a lead role there, lion's share role of the wide receiver group at only 4,700, he'll definitely come in as a good value.
Yeah, and you know, when I was talking through this, and I got to Chris Olave, it hit me that I think we completely, or at least I did. You had one running back I wish I would have talked about was Alvin Kamara. He's 5,500. I really like Alvin Kamara this week as a play. The Falcons have been terrible against running backs this year, and I know Alvin Kamara hasn't been utilized the same way as he was previously, but I just think this also is just a really good spot for him. In this matchup against the Falcons, who allow like the fourth most DraftKings points to running backs. I don't want to go all the way back to running backs. I just forgot
to mention it. Yeah. We haven't had an Alvin Kamara pop off week in a minute, so we could be due. We could be due out there in New Orleans to get something good there. Yeah, that could be a sneaky little game there, that Atlanta and New Orleans game. And I, you know, weird, Kev, because I usually feel like these NFC South games, you know, kind of happen in that noon window, and this one is a late game in the afternoon window, which is just, you know, I just found that interesting to call out, because usually we get those games early. But yeah, Kev, wide receiver is a lot of fun with the way it's shaping up, with some value that could open up for us. So I think these high price options will definitely go under the radar, and it'll be fun to see what builds shape out with as we get closer to the main slate. Kev, let's talk about tight end. Trey McBride is 6,800. Kev, you talked about JSN, right, and his role, and like, you know, being on K's too expensive. Like, what is it going to take to price Trey McBride to 8K? Like, that's where he should be. I mean, the way that he's been utilized with Jacoby Brissett at the helm is absolutely, it's just incredible, the usage that he's seeing. It's unfair to put him in a position where he's at this tight end, so we can't price him up accordingly, right? Like, I'm trying to think of like who the tight ends were, you know, over the past couple of years, right, that where we've seen the price tag just get so, you know, absolutely astronomical that it makes you have a decision. I think Travis Kelce, you know, that year when people were arguing could he be, you know, MVP, he was getting to like 7,500 or something like that. And I'm sure there's been guys, but I don't know, you know, that we've seen, you know, this usage for this long, it's sustained. It's just ridiculous what Jacoby Brissett is doing to get him the ball. But he's 6,800. It feels too cheap, right? And what's hard, Kev, now is that we have this tight end, right, who's 6,800, who feels too cheap. But there are some really good tight end plays, you know, on the slate that are kind of shaping up and rearing their head. So it's going to be a fun one to talk about. I mean, you know, we got Brock Bowers back on the main slate, right? He's 6K. He's definitely, you know, always in play with the way he's been utilized there. We got Tyler Warren. I can't remember. Like I said, these indie guys, I don't remember the last time they've been on the main slate, right? So, you know, Tyler Warren's back on the slate. You know, Jake Ferguson, I'm just never going to play this guy, but he keeps just scoring touchdowns. He's 5,300. And then Travis Kelce's only 5K, Kev. Like, he's actually, you know, hit a resurgence. I felt like it really hit in his stride. It's ironic, right? The Chiefs are struggling, and Kelce actually has found this fountain of youth to go along with this season. So things aren't really aligned there. But, you know, if we expect the Chiefs to be scoring points in bunches, like, this makes for a really incredible stack here. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, with him being only 5K, going against this matchup against Indy. You know, Hunter Henry is going to find himself in a good spot against Cincinnati. Cincinnati has definitely been a sieve against the tight ends all year long. I know Hunter Henry, it's really, you know, been tough to trust them. He hasn't really gotten there in some good spots. It will be interesting if Austin Hooper is set to miss this game. I know he's been on the injury report. So if Henry was the only guy out there, that would make me like it a little bit more. On the other side of that, Kev, we got Noah Fant, right? Without Jamar Chase, he could potentially be involved. Now, the caveat there is that Mike Gesicki, you know, he's going to show IR here on DraftKings if you're going to the game logs. It's like, oh, Mike Gesicki's on the IR, so I can't play him. But he actually was back at practice yesterday on Wednesday, and so he could potentially be out there and really throw a wrench in it. But if Noah Fant were the only guy, if Hunter Henry were the only guy, I think those are, you know, two really strong plays at the tight end position. And then I'm going to have interest in Mark Andrews when I'm playing Lamar. He's 3,800, and, you know, we know that rapport is strong there. Probably could even be talked into maybe some Juwan Johnson as well at 4K with his role. So, like, I'm saying all this to say, like, what the fuck are you doing with Trey McBride this week? Because we, you know, I feel like every week we got to play this guy, but there are really some good tight ends on it that make it feel like, you know, is this another two tight end week, or with the value that we're getting, can we even go there? What's happening with you at the tight end position, and where are you going?
Yeah, I mean, I already said Trey McBride. Yeah, he's too cheap. I mean, he's been an absolute cheat code. I mean, with Brissett, I mean, he's scoring 21, 29, 16, 30, and 30. So, like,
yeah, I mean, you can just pencil him in for 15. I mean, you just pencil him in for 15, and let it go from there. It's insane.
But yeah, I mean, he's obviously a player. There's nothing really else to say about that. Kelsey's been phenomenal, but. Hunter Henry, you just follow the flow chart. You know, are they playing the Bengals? They are. Okay, we're playing them. He's $3,900. Yeah. Bengals have been just notoriously bad against tight ends. So I do like that. I think Colson Loveland is also a good play here. I like him as a play in the spot against the Steelers. Colson Loveland, we've seen an uptick. We continue to see an uptick. Last week he played 71% of the snaps, ran 60% of the routes. Now, he was only targeted four times, turned that into three catch, 40 yards. Obviously, nothing exciting, but the Steelers have struggled against tight ends this year, fifth most DraftKings points to tight ends. And so Colson Loveland is $3,500. I do like him as a play. If Britton Strange is able to return, he was limited. They opened up his practice window. If he were to return, I think Britton Strange is kind of interesting at $3,400. But I like the call, too, with the Bengals, because kind of forget, like, Gesicki was really good last year. With the Bengals last year before, with Burrow and everything. And then this year he got hurt and he's been out for, you know, a large portion of the season. But $2,600, you know, against the Patriots. The Patriots have struggled against tight ends this year, because I was going to have interest in Noah Fant, because Noah Fant, you know, he's quietly, like, he hasn't been, like, phenomenal, but, like, he's been cheap. You know, he has a week where he scored 14.4, scored 10.8. But, I mean, the Patriots have allowed the most receptions to tight ends, the fifth most receiving yards, the ninth most touchdowns, and the seventh most DraftKings points to tight ends. And so, like, I think it's still a pretty solid spot when it comes to Mike Gesicki, if he does get cleared, which he's practicing in full, you know, Monday or Wednesday and Thursday, I think it's at least a little promising there for him that he could get there and he could play. Maybe a little thin, but I don't mind. I think he's a fair play. One other sneaky one too could be Chigakonkwo. It is a little bit more thin, but, like, I don't necessarily hate it. The Seahawks have allowed the third most DraftKings points to tight ends this year. They've struggled a little bit there. But he is 3,700. There's probably other plays that other play than him. And then Theo Johnson, I think, is the other one at $4,100 against Detroit. Just they don't really have a lot of other options to throw the ball to. And he was only targeted four times last week, but he's been as somebody that routinely sees anywhere from 6 to 8 targets in most spots. So don't mind Theo Johnson either. Oh, and Juwan Johnson. Juwan Johnson has been had a really solid breakout this year. You know, the last time we saw him on the field against the Panthers, 4 catches, 92 yards at a score. There's a lot to like here. He's the number 2 target in this offense now. And so Juwan Johnson at 4K.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Juwan is quietly, you know, because the offense really hasn't been doing much to jump off the page. But he's been a catalyst, you know, for this offense to even be you know, remotely competent. And you know, he's doing his job to keep Taysom Hill weeks not a thing in 2025. So, you know, shout out to Juwan Johnson for that. We appreciate him. Kev, let's talk about defense real quick so we could build the team and get the people on their merry way to start building their lineups. Again, guys, your DJ Nation podcast, we're coming at you live back on your back in your airwaves, listening to us on podcast. We appreciate that. DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_authority is where you can find us on Twitter and X. Kev, we got defense to talk about this week. And for me, it's going to be another week where defense is pretty straightforward to me. You know, I think, you know, as we talk about salary savers, I'm going right back to the Browns at 2,900 with the way that they've been playing. I'll just keep going to the well with the way that they've been playing. There's enough said there. You know, another cheap one that I like is the Saints at 2,500. You know, they're in that late window. They're going against Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins just looks like he doesn't have it anymore. He's lost a step. So those are my favorite defenses under 3K. I think I definitely could be talked into, you know, anytime it's Jameis on the other side, if I have the salary, you know, going with Lions defense, even with the injuries that they have, like he's just viable to throw, you know, a pick six, maybe two, maybe three. And Packers defense going against JJ McCarthy back at home, I think is definitely interesting out there in the elements. Kev, let's say you had defense. Where are you going? What are you doing this week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what DraftKings doing putting the Browns at 2,900. Like, don't really understand it. The Browns defense has been really good all year. And if you just look at the Browns, Myles Garrett's just having another monster season. It's a shame that he's wasting his career away in Cleveland. But he racked up another four sacks last week. He's actually the first player since 1982 to record 12 plus sacks in six straight seasons. And
was that Taylor?
The what?
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Browns, defense has been a really solid, you know, defense all year. And they have produced, they've been a top 10 scoring, you know, defense on DraftKings in five of their last eight games. Over the last four games, we have seen them average 10.5 DraftKings points per game, which trails only the Seahawks. And we, you know, and in this week, they get to face one of the worst offensive lines in the league. This game only has a 36.5 point total. Myles Garrett could absolutely go nuclear in this one. So the Browns at 2,900, I don't get it. But I also think that they're going to probably be the most shocking defense on the slate, because that's just a little bit too cheap for what their upside brings. I think the Saints, I agree with you there as well. Kirk Cousins, the last time we saw him against the Dolphins, he looked terrible. He was awful last year. I don't know. Maybe that was just maybe he's better, but I don't see it. The Saints is a little volatile, but still – the Saints are still, you know, an actual favorite in this game. And so I like the Saints here, the Saints defense. They're 2,500, too cheap. I think if you had the money to pay up, obviously the Seahawks make a ton of sense. I mean, the Titans have just been just dreadful all year on offense. I mean, it's just, there's nothing. Actually, I thought it was funny that the Titans are the Titans leading. What is it? Let me pull it up. The Joey Sly is actually their top fantasy producer this year, averaging 9 fantasy points per game of anybody on their entire offense. So that's bad it's been. The Titans are only averaging 14.3 points per game.
I'm surprised he's higher than Pollard, but because of the injury, I bet, huh?
Yeah. But they're only producing 242 total yards per game and converting a lowly 29% of third downs. So all ranked dead last. And Cam Ward's completing just 58% of his passes, 163.6 passing yards per game, and he's been sacked on 11% of dropbacks, which is 31st. So Seattle is obviously phenomenal play, but they're 4K. So I don't think I would get there because I never play defenses that are that expensive. And the Raiders are also a really good play against Cleveland. You know, yeah. Shador Sanders looked – it was off the bench, whatever, but, like, he looked lost, 4 of 16 passes or whatever it was, 46 yards. It was against the Ravens, but still, the Raiders' defense hasn't been necessarily awful. They can still get to the quarterback, Max Crosby. I mean, it'd be a fun prop to see what like Max Crosby plus Myles Garrett's total sacks would be if they would put that out there. Max Crosby could also have a really big day. So the Raiders, I think, are also in play at 3,500.
I love it. Yeah, we'll have to keep a monitor on that game, little prop that you have there. Probably looking at a decent amount for the sack props for both of those boys. But defense is going to be fun this week yet again. Kev, what say you? Let's build this Millie Maker lineup. see what we got going for the people. I think you started it off last week, so I'm going to start it off this week. Guys, you know how we do. We enter in the big Millie Maker on DraftKings there. That's the 2.5 fantasy football Millie Maker with 1 million to first $20 entry pool, about 147,000 and some change entries that we need to beat. It's down over the past couple of weeks from the 160 some that we were doing earlier in the year. But Kev, we gotta keep our cash and streak alive and build a solid team. So since we both like this play, I'll just start it off right there. Low hanging fruit. Let's get Jahmyr Gibbs in there at 8,300 and start this build.
Okay. Do we do it? Do we go, Javis?
Kev.
I don't think we need to go there. There's other ways to go. That's the. You know, let's go. I think where a lot of people are going to go, in the game we kind of talked about as being sneaky, I'm going to go Jalen Hurts.
Okay. I like it. I'm going to play A.J. Brown with them. Or, you know what? Let's see what we could do with Devonta. Let's see what we could do with Devonta. 5,600.
Then do we want to run it back with CD? Or George Pickens?
I mean, yeah, I think probably Pickens, right? At only 6,900. I mean, if we're playing CD at 8K, almost would want to go Dak.
I will say the last time the CT's played, Pickens was only targeted four times, but
that was his first game though, right? As a Cowboy. Yeah.
I feel like CD's kind of due. It's been a minute since he's had a big game, so
let's see what we can do with CD.
All right.
4,300. So let's see if we can find some value. Let's see here. You know what, Kev? I'm just going to go ahead and throw in Tootin at 4,600 because if there's no ETN and Tootin's active, he's a smash play. So let's just go ahead and put him in as a placeholder, knowing we need another running back anyway.
So Kenneth Walker.
All right, so we'll put Kenneth Walker in. Let's see, is he in that? So I'll move Tootin to the flex with him being in the late slate or afternoon slate, that is. And then Kenneth Walker, the RB spot. All right, so that leaves us with 3,866 per position. All right, Kev, taking the cheapest defense for now that we talked about, which is the Saints. And that's 4,550 for a tight end and a wide receiver position. So right now as it stands, we're not going to have McBride. Can't play him. Can't afford him. Let's see what happens. So don't really like it if we play Henry.
What if we go Goddard?
Goddard?
4,900 at the last wide receiver spot.
Goddard's interesting. He's 42. 4,900 at wide receiver. Does that leave us with Michael Wilson?
Yeah, Michael Wilson or Greg Dorsch, one or the other. I mean, if you want to go Michael Wilson, go Michael Wilson. I think this – so this team is, like, different enough, right? I don't think there's going to be a lot of people getting to this Philly stack. And so, like, I think the stack alone is differentiates us. So, I mean, if Michael Wilson's going to be popular, I mean, we can eat the chalk. It's fine. I mean, chalk has been burning as hot as the sun this year. So,
yeah,
like avoiding chalk is not the way to go this year.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting play. I was playing around with real quick before we close out the build. If we did if Gesicki ended up playing, that left us with 6,500, and that's Stephon Diggs, so that would be a mini in that game. If it came down to it. But I know Gesicki is just like, you know, I would rather it be like Fant, right? If Gesicki was out, versus trying to play, you know, two tight ends who are going to be active. So we'll keep Goddard and Michael Wilson for now. Like you said, we got it. You know, it's always nice to have some jock, especially when your main is a little bit different. And, you know, this stack with Jalen Hurts, you know, Jalen Hurts double that doesn't have AJ Brown, very, 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 unpopular for sure. So, we're going to go Jalen Hurts stacked this week in the Millie. Jalen Hurts stacked up with Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. We got Jahmyr Gibbs and Kenneth Walker as our running backs, as well as Bashaul Tuten, if he is the only Jacksonville running back active. We have CeeDee Lamb as a run back. We got Michael Wilson as well in the wide receiver slot with the Saints defense at $2,500. That leaves $100 left on the table, and we still have some pivots that we could, you know, we have room to make pivots if we need to, Kev. So entering in that into the Millie. And with that being said, Kev, we're going to close the book on the Week 12 breakdown for the people. Do you have any last words for the DJ Nation family before we close up shop here?
No, just looking forward to this weekend and then looking forward to next week. The Thanksgiving slate is, I think it's the best one we've seen in a really, really long time. Like, I was thinking about it, like, at least in the last five to 7 years, I think this is the best showdown or the best Thanksgiving slate we've had, like, across the board. But you know, we still have a week to go. It's like, we could get some injuries this weekend that completely derail this. So I'm hoping it doesn't. But right now, you know, you got the Packers.
Some injuries or some suspensions.
So you have the Chiefs against the Cowboys. That game should be a lot of fun. Then you have the Night Hammer with now possibly Joe Burrow against Lamar Jackson. Like, The Thursday game is gonna be, the Thursday slate is gonna be awesome. I can't wait to break it down with you guys next week, because there's gonna be so many different directions to go in that game, or in that slate. So, and if you don't play a lot of DFS, like, Thursday is the way to go, because there's a ton of different contests to play. Yep. It's a 3-game slate, it's a little bit more condensed, but it also just gives you
and something the pricing, fun to right?
Yeah, and the pricing is
gonna be nice.
Yeah, the pricing is usually soft for Thursdays as well, but there's usually a lot of really good, a lot of, because I already saw, like, the Millie for Thursday is $5. So, yeah, you know, people, if you want to jump in the Millie, you can jump in there at $5, whatever. But hey, maybe you can win $1 million while you're eating, you know, turkey and pumpkin pie, whatever it is you're going to eat. But it is a yearly tradition, unlike other that we do every year with the boys. That'll be a lot of fun. For whatever reason, that show goes over 2 hours every time, and it's a 3-game slate. I've never understood it, but it is what it is every single time.
Well, usually when you have four talking heads, right, that's usually what can tend to happen. In between you and D-Bro, I mean, you guys could do a show just going back and forth with each other, and that's 45 minutes right there. So, no, it's going to be a fun one, Kev. I mean, the biggest thing, right, is the slate, right? We've been, you know, it's one of our favorite slates to break down since we've been doing the DJ Nation podcast, which, you know, years and years and years in existence. I can't even think off the top of my head when we launched. But, you know, we're probably going on 8 years, right, of doing this, of breakdowns. And we've had to go through so many rough patches, right, on Thanksgiving slates, as glorious as it is, right? It's those 3 games. You know, you're getting the 3 games. I know we've had years where it's only been 2 games. And then we, you know, finally we're getting the late night hammer in. So we've gone through so many iterations of that slate, but, you know, it's kind of been like, oh, you know, this guy's hurt or this guy's suspended. And like you said, there's still a lot of football to be left before that slate happens. But at least from a game standpoint environment, like the fact that we're even, you know, getting Joe Burrow back, right, potentially healthy for that game, is nice with that Ravens matchup, the game that will mean something. We got a huge game in the morning to kick it off with Green Bay and the Lions, as you alluded to. That game's going to mean something. And then we get the Dallas, we get the Chiefs going into Dallas, right? Which is way, way more enticing than if Dallas was visiting the Chiefs. So just, you know, a fun slate of games. Can't wait to break it down with you. Can't wait to break it down with the fellas, and can't wait to break it down for the people. And that's why you guys tune in for the DJ Nation podcast, because, you know, we're always going to be here breaking down the slates. And not only that, but we'll break down the Thanksgiving slate. Most likely we'll have that podcast coming to you guys on Wednesday. So we'll break it down on the Tuesday night. So for those of you who are listening live, you'll get it Tuesday. But for the people who listen back, you'll be able to set your lineups on Black Wednesday there, or, you know, get your lineups and listen in on Black Wednesday for that Thanksgiving slate. But then we'll also find time to be breaking down the Sunday main slate as well. Kevin and I will be back doing that. We always try and find a good time, even with the holidays, to be able to get you that. Obviously, it won't come out at that normal time that you guys are accustomed to getting it because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but probably sometime, you know, in the weekend before Sunday, you'll be able to listen to that breakdown as well as we break down the week 13 main slate. But yeah, Kev, it's going to be a fun one. Can't wait to break it down for you. Can't wait to break it down for the people. Again, guys, it's the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority at FF_Authority is where you need to be following us on Twitter and X. We appreciate all the love and support that you guys show us. We hope that you guys are, you know, if you're not listening on the podcast, if you haven't been listening live, go to that YouTube channel and you can listen there as well too. Give us some love over there. Like the video, hit subscribe as well. We appreciate that. And Kev, with that being said, I'm going to sign up for the people. It's Kevin Steele, the godfather himself of the Fantasy Authority. Fantasy Wrath 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Myself, Ryan Williams at Twitter and X, at Ryan_Alexander_W. We'll catch you guys next time, next week for multiple breakdowns of the slates. But until then, for week 12, you know what to do. We'll see you in the DFS streets. Get that money. Peace.
You know who you're talking to. Big man, I'll treat you like you're a little man.